Now that sequestration has taken effect, DOD believes April 26th is the day when civilian furloughs will actually begin, at least within the Defense Department. That date is a consequence of legal notification timeframes the department has to meet. It's the only federal agency that has to give 45 days of notice to Congress that it intends to furlough employees, a step it took on February 20th. Next Friday, DOD will start to notify employees that they are targeted for furlough. They will then have a week to initiate an appeal process through the Merit System Protection Board, according to Bob Hale, the DOD comptroller.
And it's not quite clear to us. We've never done this, and I hope we never do, administrative furloughs of this kind. It's not quite clear what that process will be, but the appeal right is there.
Over the past few weeks, the military services and components have been compiling lists of employees that they believe should be exempt from furlough. The Pentagon now has those lists in hand and expects to issue final decisions on exemptions by this Friday. But Hale told a town hall audience of Pentagon employees that very few civilian workers will be spared from the effective 20% pay cut. The only exemptions it plans to grant are for employees who are actively serving in war zones or who have to be on the job to protect life and property. And if a hypothetical DOD agency that manages to find enough savings in other spending areas to offset its share of sequestration, it still will not be able to exempt its employees from furlough.
Our judgment is it's not a good idea, for the same reason that there are some defense agencies that have large contracts, mostly contracts, that could have avoided furloughs. But I think we made a judgment that consistency and fairness is the right approach. What we'll do instead is try to level the money. And to the extent we have transfer authority to do it, we will try to move money from the services that are a little better off and to those that are less well off.
The service that's the least well off, by far, under the current budget scenario, is the Army. While sequestration purports to cut all DOD programs evenly, the actual effects of the cuts across the military services and agencies are extremely uneven. Hale says the department's operation and maintenance accounts will take the biggest hit because of the speed and the manner in which funds are drawn down from those funding lines, along with the fact that since DOD is still operating at last year's funding levels, it has much less O&M money than it requested. In effect, he said, DOD will see a 40% shortfall in money it has available to pay for current year needs like military training, civilian salaries, maintenance, and many other activities by the end of the year.
And this is DOD-wide. By service, the picture is much different. Some of the services are a little better off. The Army is much worse off. It has bigger problems with regard to protecting wartime ops because they're so heavy there, more money in the wrong appropriation. The Army is almost 80% short of the dollars it needs for the rest of the year in operation and maintenance.
Hale says that's why DOD organizations won't be offered an escape hatch from furloughs, no matter how many dollars they scrounge from other day-to-day expenses. According to Susan Yarwood of the Pentagon's Washington Headquarters Service, the same general philosophy also applies to civilians who are not even technically federal civilian servants, including local government, tribal, and academic institution employees who work within DOD under the Intergovernmental Personnel Act.
Now, in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, we have several dozen of those, and our current intent is to work with the employing organizations, the nonprofits, the academic organizations, and renegotiate to the level that the civilian employees in the department must take a cut to try to equal it out, another way to save some money.
Yarwood says the same goes for consultants who work at the Pentagon.
If they are paid, we are asking organizations not to call them in for a certain number of days so that their time will also be reduced. But for obviously the unpaid consultants, they can continue to work, come to the board meetings that they support, etc.
DOD's crackdown on O&M dollars, which has already forced the firing of thousands of temporary and term employees and a huge cutback on out-of-town travel for training events, might be alleviated under actions Congress is now considering. The House passed a bill last week that would provide DOD with an appropriations bill for the remainder of the year. If passed by the Senate and signed by the President, the measure would alleviate part of DOD's budget problem this year. Money is in the wrong places under the continuing resolution. The Pentagon has more than it asked for in its acquisition accounts and less than it needs in its O&M budget. The Air Force Chief of Staff said last week that the bill could allow his service to cancel civilian furloughs. Hale says DOD as a whole is not willing to predict that outcome quite yet.
It would get the money into the right appropriations. Remember that said that's one of the problems with the CR. We got too much investment, not enough O&M. It would correct that problem. That is not trivial, and it would certainly help us. Now, it doesn't solve all our problems. It leaves sequestration in place, And it would it did not, as we'd hoped, fix some of the OCO shortfalls. But there might be some opportunity to reprogram, and a technique we use to move money around to try to meet some of those problems.
Even if Congress does nothing, Hale says he doesn't think furloughs will become an ongoing phenomenon in DOD. The Budget Control Act, the law which created sequestration, mandates caps on military spending for the next 10 years, about $50 billion per year lower than what the Pentagon would like. If those caps stay in place, Hale says DOD will have to revise its entire defense strategy. The uniformed end strength of the military services would have to decline, and it's reasonable to conclude that the civilian workforce would shrink too.
If we're going to face these sort of cuts in the future, we'll start soon. We will have to relook at our strategy. We'll have to begin to cut forces, military forces, to accommodate a lower budget and modernization. And with that, there'll probably be some civilian cuts too. But I wouldn't anticipate that we would do furloughs. The only reason we're doing these is that we're 7 months, 5 months into the fiscal year. It actually costs money in the first year if we do a RIF action because of unscheduled or unused leave and separation payments. And so RIFs were not an option because they would have made the situation worse in fiscal 13. On the other hand, if we know we're going to a lower level of personnel, both military and civilian, we will have to move to RIFs, I'm afraid, and we probably will have to do some involuntary separations of military. But I think we would avoid furloughs at all costs.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.